This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
The world suffers the largest outbreak of disease in history. Is this breakdown or turning point? We begin with new science on a fear almost greater than death, long-haul COVID. The monster COVID wave is hitting around the world like a tsunami, as you know. Formerly safe places like Australia and Vietnam have skyrocketing cases. Even Israel, now administering the fourth dose of vaccines and closing borders, they cannot contain this. Positive COVID tests in Europe are far higher than ever. The disease is conquering America and Canada. Russia continues to lose over 1,000 citizens a day. Hospitalizations are building again everywhere, but more slowly than expected. The best hope, sold by the media and desperate tweeters, goes like this. The new Omicron variant is mild, just a bad cold, sort of. Omicron pushes out the more deadly Delta variant and infects everyone, including all the unvaccinated. Humanity emerges in the spring with just another nasty flu that comes back every year. That sounds livable. Many politicians who tossed out restrictions to keep business going, well, maybe they were right. We might as well just keep on going and get our dose of COVID. Most people will be okay, we think. If you are happy with that, or in case you are genuinely depressed right now, you might want to change the channel. Or stop the podcast here. I'm serious. Protect yourself. In these times, we all need to cling on to whatever gets us through the day. Get out now, if you need to, because this is harsh information. The dream of mild Omicron accidentally saving humanity from a more deadly strain is possible, but is it likely? As every expert says relentlessly on TV, we don't know. It is still too soon to tell how the Omicron variant will play out in the real world. In South Africa, the first giant wave of Omicron swept through in early December without a parallel wave of immediate hospitalizations. But immunologists pointed out two prime factors. The population of South Africa is much younger than in Europe or North America, and a large number of those infected may have built resistance from previously untested and unreported cases of earlier COVID variants. The South African experience may not apply. At the start of 2022, hospitalizations in South Africa are climbing again. In Britain, Omicron flourished to the point where 1 in 10 people on the streets of London tested positive for COVID at the end of December. Now, that's not 1 in 10 people who went in for testing because they thought they were sick, but 1 in 10 randomly selected people on the street. And yet, so far, hospitalizations have not completely overwhelmed the national healthcare system. That could change at any day. Also, the majority of people who tested positive for COVID in UK hospitals at the end of December were there for other reasons. They were not admitted because of COVID symptoms. That's amazing. We don't know what will happen in January. The United States is a special case. First of all, the population was led into a dangerous myth, not just by people pushing anti-science, but by the government's Center for Disease Control. The CDC helped that hopeful narrative that kinder, gentler Omicron had pushed out Delta. In early December, they reported that 73% of new cases were the Omicron variant. But on December 28th, the CDC made a major correction. Instead of 73% Omicron in the first 2 weeks of December, the true figure was 23%, a change of 50%. The majority of cases were deadly Delta. Who knows how many people let their guard down because of that? I think their guard was already down. But the Delta variant continued to overwhelm hospitals and kill thousands of Americans each and every day. There were two pandemics at the same time. Deadly Delta has not in any way left the United States, Canada, or Europe yet. One review of cases, still not peer-reviewed, appears to show that having Omicron seems to prevent Delta at the same time. Others argue co-infection is completely possible. We don't know for sure, especially from the experience in Israel, whether Omicron can infect people even with three injections of vaccines. That seems to be the case. the virus has mutated to escape vaccine resistance, and it looks like triple-jab people still avoid the trip to intensive care or the morgue unless they were already near the edge due to other non-COVID conditions. So don't count on immunity. Medical reports from several countries found people can be reinfected with COVID, getting it two or more times within a single year. So this is unlike other famous diseases. Surviving COVID does not create lifetime immunity or even immunity lasting a year. My personal conclusion is that people who have had COVID-19 of any variant, whether symptomatic or not, should take more, not less, protective measures. Cases on record show return COVID can be worse and more deadly than the first bout. Hopefully you can pass this message on to others. If someone got through COVID, it is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, not time to party. It is time to be extra vigilant and double-masked like an immunocompromised person, which that person may very well be. We need more science on that, but peer-reviewed large study results will come far too late to know what to do now for sure. Be careful. The giant and most fearsome ogre in our time is not really how many millions will die from COVID. Their troubles will end while their families grieve. The media mentions this other dark fear in passing. Maybe a couple of famous people admit it. We hear more cries from victims on Twitters. Hey, watch out. You know what it is. Long-haul COVID. Early in the pandemic, we heard of low survival rates of people going on ventilators, like only 12% lived. Among those survivors, a minority of that minority experienced extreme impacts like full-on dementia at any age. Others had to learn to speak and walk again, like a toddler. It is hard to find the number of people who now require dialysis for the rest of their lives because of their COVID infection. Kidney damage, heart damage, and brain damage emerged in COVID survivors and sometimes even in those with mild symptoms. Others just lost their will to live, slipping into serious depression that lasts until today. Or they are tired, finding common ground with chronic fatigue syndrome, too tired to work, to look after their kids, to get their lives back. We do not know how long those symptoms will last. Organ damage to the kidneys and heart will not be repaired, we know that. They may be treated, but the person may die years younger than if they never had COVID. When this pandemic is over, it will not be over. It seems likely millions of people will die early due to COVID damage for the years and even decades after the disease. Most may not be counted. What we can say that is true now, just based on the lives already lost and damaged by the COVID-19 pandemic, is that widespread damage will continue as long as variants like Delta can find unvaccinated people. Given a big world with billions of humans, that could be decades. We can't say for sure. Will the Omicron variant cause the same kinds of long-term impacts? With a virus barely a month old, it is too soon to say with any scientific or medical certainty. We don't know yet. We can say that so far it looks like Omicron is having less severe impacts on most people who get it, especially if they are vaccinated, and that might reduce the continuing buildup of humans with long-haul COVID. A comparatively smaller number of Omicron patients require ventilators. If hospitalized, patients with Omicron stay only a few days, not weeks or months. It sounds like fewer people are dying of Omicron, but the big wave is just washing over. It is too soon to know. But we can hold on to that small hope that fewer people will suffer long-lasting damage when they get this new COVID variant. That is a good hope, and I'm holding on to it. There is no science to prove it yet, but we are getting the first explanations of how and when COVID-19 damages the heart, brain, and other organs.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.
Let's get straight to the breaking science on long-haul COVID. This was just released December 26th, led by scientists at the U.S. National Institute of Health. These are rushed results from fresh autopsies of American COVID victims. This information comes with a warning. It is preprint, and quote, should not be considered conclusive, used to inform clinical practice, or referenced by the media as validated information, end quote. Due to the enormous need to understand this virus as it attacks society around the world, the NIH is breaking their normal slow procedure for peer-reviewed data. There are 33 authors, most of them American medical scientists. The lead author is Dr. Daniel Chertow. He is the investigator for the Emerging Pathogens section of the NIH. The manuscript is under review for the top journal, Nature. The title is SARS-CoV-2 Infection and Persistence Throughout the Human Body and Brain. I post links to that paper in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Look for it, published Wednesdays. You should also look for an article by Jason Gale at medscape.com. Headline is Coronavirus Can Persist for Months After Traversing the Body. Jason writes, quote, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 can spread within days from the airwaves to the heart, brain, and almost every organ in the body, where it may persist for months, a study found, end quote. The best previous study on long-term effects was led by the director of the Clinical Epidemiology Center at the Veterans Affairs in St. Louis, Missouri, Dr. Ziad Al-Ali. We will look at his paper shortly. But Ziad Al-Ali told Jason Gale, quote, for a long time now, we've been scratching our heads and asking why long COVID seems to affect so many organ systems. This paper sheds some light and may help explain why long COVID can occur even in people who had mild or asymptomatic acute disease, end quote. So what did the NIH scientists find in the bodies of COVID victims? The COVID RNA particles were found in the brain and in multiple parts of the body, lasting hundreds of days after symptoms began. The RNA, that is, the virus, is still there. It is still active, but can it be activated again? We don't know yet. But other viruses do have that capability, like the herpes virus, which hides in the bodies for years, erupting every now and then. We can't assume COVID-19 is like that, and we can't assume that it isn't. But even more telling for millions of people experiencing illness and disability long after getting this coronavirus, the new NIH study suggests the way that spreading can take place. The investigators found the virus goes through an early stage where it can explode out of the breathing system into the rest of the body. They are calling it a viremic stage. Take a deep breath. Not everyone experiences this all-body blast of the virus. In fact, the majority of people do not. Yet a minority, say 1% of people who get COVID, is a huge number of people when literally billions of folks are infected with the virus. In the UK's Guardian newspaper, December 23rd, disability activist J.D. Davids draws up these numbers for America, quote, we now know that at least 10 to 30% of those who survive any COVID infection, from asymptomatic to mild to severe, will go on to live with, and sometimes die from, long COVID, a long-term, lifelong, or even life-threatening from COVID. Even before Omicron, the CDC estimates there have been at least 146.6 million COVID infections in the United States alone, meaning at least 15 million people are estimated to have long COVID. End quote from J.D. Davids in The Guardian. Find links in my show blog at ecoshock.org. That 15 million figure is lower than others I have seen. It is just for the United States and does not include whatever Omicron will leave in its wake in the year 2022 and possibly beyond.
Radio EcoShock.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, host of the show for the last 15 years. I usually interview climate scientists, but this week we have a special about new understanding of one of the most feared aspects of this pandemic virus, long-haul COVID. Here is the awful truth found by the latest science. It is already known to doctors and nurses in many intensive care units around the world. In some people, COVID kills neurons in the brain. Here's a tweet, a helpful one, from Dr. Noor Bari, an infectious diseases emergency trainee in Australia. Quote, "They found that the infected astrocytes induced apoptosis in the neurons, indicating that the virus infection could trigger events that could kill neurons." Translation? COVID makes your body kill your brain cells, and they don't grow back. That from Noor Bari is partly inspired by this paper published November 18, 2021 in Nature Reviews Neurology. The title is Counting the Neurological Cost of COVID-19. In it, an earlier review of reports from 55 countries found 41 different neurological manifestations occurring with COVID-19. The brain is so complex, damaging different parts of it reveals 41 different possible impacts. That is amazing, and that's just what's reported so far. A lot of people are experiencing strange changes in their lives and may never realize it was COVID damage to the brain. The most extreme signs of brain damage from the virus are like early onset dementia and Parkinson's disease. Although surviving, the person may require care for the rest of their shortened lives. Other symptoms seem like less, but they still loom pretty large if it's you. Memory problems are common, words going missing. The brain breakdown formerly associated with advancing age, but now it appears in 30 to 50-year-olds. And younger, even kids. Some people with COVID lose detectable and measurable IQ points due to neurons killed off by the disease in the brain. Quoting from Counting the Neurological Cost, that study by Abdul Manan Baig, differences in the prevalence of the various neurological symptoms were observed between older, aged 60 years or more, and young, aged less than 18-year-olds, subpopulations. Acute confusion or delirium, fatigue, and myalgia tended to dominate in the older group. In patients under 18 years, the most common neurological symptoms were impairment of smell and or taste and headache, and seizures were also noted in some individuals. Alarmingly, mortality in patients with COVID-19 who had one or more neurological manifestations was found to be 27%. And was especially high in patients aged 60 years or more. The finding that the prevalence of stroke was 1.2% in people with COVID-19, compared with only 0.2% in those with influenza, is also very concerning. That's an end quote from Counting the Neurological Cost by Abdul Manan Baig. Find that link in my blog at ecoshock.org. Statistically speaking, this COVID brain damage probably has not happened to you, will not happen to you or your loved ones. But millions of people around you will be less able to work, to cope, and to understand what is happening to them. Take this back-of-the-envelope guesstimate from a tweeter who calls himself Abundant Pedestrian Sheds. Quote, "Let's do a bit more math. Let's say 70% get infected. 10% of that has long COVID. A UK study says 1 in 7, so 10% is conservative enough. That will give us roughly 23 million of people in the UK who will have apoptosis in brain cells and long COVID. Plus, reinfections are twice as likely to be fatal." That's from a tweeter. How about this one? Just consider from Denise DeWald, an MD in Ohio. "How is the economy going to look if the average age of dementia onset is 60 years rather than 84? There is a measurable decline in cognitive function in people who had just one episode of COVID. What happens after multiple bouts with the virus?" says Denise. Back comes this comment. "Meanwhile, China is protecting its citizens' workforce. Hardcore. How will we compete if our populace is profoundly affected cognitively in years to come?" Another commenter says, "Try from age 35. I am dealing with completely lost and confused people daily. We have already discussed, discreetly, screening those who have been infected when hiring. They are too great a burden for a business when thinking fast on your feet is essential." End of a quote from a tweet. Chilling. How many people will try to hide their COVID infection in job resumes? How deep will the new discrimination go? a factor in marriage partners? For more information on brain damage and cognitive deficits after COVID, you can check out this paper, published July 22, 2021, in the journal Lancet, Cognitive Deficits in People Who Have Recovered from COVID-19. Another study, published in the Lancet April 6, 2021, in a huge UK look at medical records, found 1 in 3 COVID patients developed either neurological or psychiatric problems in the first 6 months after their infection. Damage ranges from nervous disorders to depression to paranoia and beyond that into antisocial behaviors. It can appear in COVID patients of all ages. That includes children, parents, and grandparents. I don't have time in this show to go into the psychiatric changes after COVID-19, but remember, that just hits a few. But in this game, a few is a lot, too many to count. As mentioned, Dr. Ziad Al-Ali published an important paper on long-haul COVID in April 2021. He is senior author of the study and a director of the Clinical Epidemiology Center at Veterans Affairs in St. Louis. In a news release from Washington University in St. Louis, Al-Ali said, "Our study demonstrates that up to 6 months after diagnosis, the risk of death following even a mild case of COVID-19 is not trivial and increases with disease severity. Given that more than 30 million Americans have been infected with this virus, and given that the burden of long COVID is substantial, the lingering effects of this disease will reverberate for many years and even decades." End quote. Al-Ali also warned that our current death tolls in every country are just the beginning, quote, "As far as total pandemic death toll, these numbers suggest that the deaths we are counting due to the immediate viral infection are only the tip of the iceberg," end quote. As the WUSTL press release explains, quote, "For the Nature study, researchers examined more than 87,000 COVID-19 patients and nearly 5 million control patients in a federal database. They found COVID-19 patients had a 59% higher risk of death up to 6 months after infection compared to non-infected people. These findings translate into about 8 extra deaths per 1,000 patients over 6 months because many deaths caused by long-term COVID complications are not recorded as COVID-19 deaths," the researchers said. "Among patients who were hospitalized and died after more than 30 days, there were 29 excess deaths per 1,000 patients over 6 months," end quote, from that press release. In this meta-study of about 74,000 patient records held by the Veterans Administration, the Al-Ali paper found COVID-19 can result in, get ready for it, respiratory system, persistent cough, shortness of breath, and low oxygen levels in the blood, nervous system, stroke, headaches, memory problems and problems with senses of taste and smell, mental health, anxiety, depression, sleep problems and substance abuse, metabolism, new onset of diabetes, obesity and high cholesterol, cardiovascular system, acute coronary disease, heart failure, heart palpitations and irregular heart rhythms, gastrointestinal system, constipation, diarrhea, and acid reflux, kidney, acute kidney injury, and chronic kidney disease that can, in severe cases, require dialysis, coagulation regulation, blood clots in the legs and lungs, skin, rash and hair loss, musculoskeletal system, joint pain and muscle weakness, general health, malaise, fatigue, and anemia. That ends a long list from a study of tens of thousands of people. And that's what can happen after COVID-19. It will happen to a minority of people, but that minority will be a huge number of people. Let's care for them. People who worry they have long-haul COVID, or know that they do, or who need to support someone who does have it, can try the Survivor Corps, a grassroots group, at www.survivorcorps.com, and Corps has an S on the end of it. Okay, it's time to talk about the massive risk of Omicron evolving into a new variant. One final awful truth to get through here. the historic infection of billions of people worldwide in a few months greatly increases the odds a new and worse variant of COVID will develop and escape. Even if this one is milder, which we don't know yet, the worldwide virus factory growing in so many people is another darkening cloud on the time horizon. Early in the pandemic, immunologists explained a new COVID variant could develop within a single sick person. Each person with the virus has billions of copies of it. Medical scientists suggest that someone who survives a long time while sick with one COVID variant is a possible bioreactor where a new variant can form. Actually, every person with COVID becomes a new bioreactor, an experimental chamber for the virus to try and try again countless new variations. It only requires one, even more successful variation to reconquer the human herd and a lot of other mammals. By the way, a third of the deer tested in Ohio tested positive for COVID-19. Whatever strain the deer have is probably going to be endemic in humans where infected wildlife is present, and they don't have herd immunity either. If you want to collect up all your COVID fears and put them on the table, don't forget the massively increased risk of new variants as uncontrolled Omicron and the remains of Delta blow up disease records around the world right now. As doctors like Peter Hotez and Eric Fagelding continually warn, the more cases we have, the more chance of dangerous variants developing, perhaps to escape any vaccine or treatment we have now. The greatest wave of disease ever seen on Earth carries the awful seed, the possibility of even worse to come. Or maybe not. Remember the first SARS-1? Far more lethal than SARS-2, which we call COVID-19. It evolved away from human hosts. A vaccine for SARS-1 was just developed, but never used because a new variation disappeared from human experience. It was a warning shot. A small group of virus experts, and eventually Bill Gates, got the message. Sadly, governments and the public did not, and here we are. But if this is our darkest hour, remember the virus has no planning intelligence. It changes through billions of trials by brute force of numbers to see what succeeds better. We have failed to fight off the virus, but the virus can fail too. That hope remains. Whether Omicron saves us from more deadly Delta or new treatments for acute illness arrive during 2022, we can be sure that the impacts of this viral event will last for decades. Millions of people have already lost key functions, with damage in organs and reduced energy to live their full lives. Their lifespans could be shorter. Even the average life expectancy could be reduced, including in developed countries. Now we face coping with millions of injured people. Hordes of Americans already lost their health care along with their jobs. Those who are too sick and tired to work may not get medical care. But it goes deeper than providing basic living or even health care. This pandemic is going to require something else. It has been in short supply this last decade. Caring for others, including people who look or speak differently. In history, religion has stepped in to provide emotional and spiritual support for those in need. Charity is built into Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. But all three religions are declining in the age of science and modernity. Will a frightened people return to former faiths and customs? Will we see a religious revival? If not, the pandemic may force a new function into civilization from Asia to Arkansas. We need a new social mechanism to care for our wounded. This includes hundreds of thousands of kids who lost their parents, the new COVID orphans. It includes the bright college professor who lost the IQ needed to keep on teaching. It includes the Amazon warehouse worker now stuck in bed at home without support or benefits. It includes the Indian farmer who can't support the family. Millions of COVID injured now need help from the survivors. That is our challenge. In a time when selling hate and division is so profitable, can the pandemic finally bring out the best in us? Anything is possible. I'm Alex Smith. Find links to all the science and news I just talked about, plus this audio MP3 as a free download, in my show blog, published every Wednesday at ecoshock.org.